Micah was born in this church, not exactly in this building, but but Brianne and Rodney were trying to conceive, and we believed they could, even though the doctor said they couldn't. And our miracle baby, Micah, was born. And Micah, you're going to be embarrassed for the rest of your life. You're just going to have to get used to it. And so he goes, well, who's preaching tomorrow? And I said, Micah's going to share a few minutes, and then Rodney's bringing a message. And he goes, Micah, because he's not, and I go, like a baby? And he goes, oh, Micah. And so, so Micah was our miracle baby, but now he's grown up. And he answered the call to YWAM, Youth with a Mission. We all have a mission, but that's an actual ministry. And so he went there. He was gone for 6 months. His parents released him, and he made a divine detour here right before we went. And I know some exciting things happened, and I haven't gotten to hear about it. So take a few minutes. Tell us what happened when you went to YWAM and where you went and what you did, and then you can turn it over to your dad.
For all y'all to know me, I'm Micah. I'm debatably my parents' favorite child. So, but yeah, so I just like first off want to start off by thanking you guys for everybody who was praying and partnering with me financially to go on this trip. It absolutely just, yeah, I'm getting like a little emotional talking about it, but it radically changed my life. And I was supposed to, for all of you who don't know, I have a heart for students, like student ministry and for the youth and the next generation. And I thought that looks like just immediately staying at home and going to college. But I took a chance of obedience from the Lord, and with the support of my parents, I canceled out of classes a week before starting classes at HCU, which is crazy to think. And then they told me I had to raise, well, technically $12,000. And me being 18 years old at the time, it's kind of crazy to think about an 18-year-old raising $12,000 to go on missions while all my friends are serving or like going to college. And so, thanks to you guys, I was able to fundraise $12,000. And the Lord just completely provided. And the way I describe YWAM was like the Lord was like a wrecking ball and just destroyed my foundation. And we just like rebuilt it together. And so there were so many lies that I believed in and that I lived in that I didn't know that weren't true. I show up to YWAM, and literally the first day, the Lord heals my knee. Like, just a bunch of young people just lay their hands on my knee. They're like, does anybody need prayer? It's just like, without a doubt, I was just like, yeah, I need prayer. And they pray for my knee, and he healed me right off the bat, and it was just crazy. And so the Holy Spirit was just so evident and such a place of just full of young people, and that was just amazing because I guess for me, I didn't feel like alone. That like it's hard to find people like-minded, especially at school. But at YWAM, I was like able to find that, and I found amazing community and just friends, and it was absolutely amazing. And so, yeah, for all of y'all who don't know, I went to New Zealand for outreach. Going into YWAM, I always thought I was going to be going to, like, some crazy third world country, like Africa or something. Like, I really wanted to go to, like, Papua New Guinea or, like, Guinea-Bissau, like, to rough it out. And just Holy Spirit is so active there, just, like, crazy stuff. They gave us 24 hours to choose where you would like to go for outreach. The rule was you're not allowed to talk to your friends about that you made at YWAM, like, where you want to go. And so I'm praying, and he immediately, like, just told me New Zealand. And I wrestled with it. I was like, no, New Zealand, I've never really heard of it. I know it's super beautiful there, but no way I'm going there. And I kept praying, and he was like, New Zealand. Wow. And I was like, I'll pray one more time. And so then I'm praying, and and I get this image of, like, a flag I've never seen before. And so for all of you who don't know, like, in the middle of campus, there's a bunch of flags. And each flag is, like, every country they're sending. So there's over like, 20 flags there of all the countries we could go on outreach. And so I, like, get an image of this flag I've never seen before. So then, like, as soon as I finish praying, I, like, book it down to the middle of the campus. And I look for it, and I find the flag. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's literally the flag. I've never even seen it before. And so then I research it, and it was New Zealand. So so I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to New Zealand. And so I was just praying. I was like, Lord, why do you want me there so bad? And so he kind of like convicted me of like my heart posture of just because it's not like physically challenging doesn't mean it's not spiritually. And so, yeah, after that, I had like this encounter with the Lord. He's like, you're going to speak life over young people, but you first have to know what I say about you. And so during worship, I was just worshiping and I was just like, Lord, like, would you just show me your love and like what you say about me? And I had like this supernatural just visual of like me standing with a bunch of like scars and like it was like tats on my body of like lies that like I've been living in and like false identities and even like visions of like mistakes I made in the past. And he literally like took his blood and just starts like wiping my body and he starts like speaking life over me. He's like, you're my beloved, you're my son, and like I love you. And yeah, and then after like he's just like speaking life over me, I'm completely like no scars or anything. He turns around and like he points at like the cross and he's like, never question like how much I love you. And he's like, there's so many people in New Zealand who have yet to heard the message, like, which was crazy because like it's a first world country, so you'd think like through social media, they've heard at least somewhat about it. But I got to preach at least like 20 times at a bunch of youth events. And like hundreds of kids just gave their life to the Lord. And it was just absolutely amazing. And so, I asked the Lord, I was like, what do you want my mindset to be going into New Zealand? And he told me, he's like, I'm not committed to your performance. I'm committed to your obedience. Yes. And so I had like this this revelation of like I could literally go on outreach and I can do everything that he asks of me and not see one healing, one person get saved. But as long as like I'm obedient to the call that he has for me, that's all that matters. And I got like this vision of like it was almost like basically like me and my dad of like this father and like his child. And basically this son was just like so in love with his father that like when his father like asked him to do something, he immediately like responded out of just like joy and love. And like the child like attempted it, but he failed. But like, I like looked at the father and the father wasn't like, oh, I can't believe you. Like you failed, you messed up. He was literally like jumping and like rejoicing. He's like, whoa, like my son loves me that much that he's gonna like, that he like walked out of obedience and like immediately responded. And so, yeah, like pretty much going into New Zealand and outreach, like, the Lord just completely, like, removed, like, the fear of man off of me, and I just, like, I had this joy, like, I always consider myself, like, a joyous person, like, they know I'm, like, really goofy and stuff, and so, but, like, I, like, had so much joy, and so, in New Zealand, it's called tall poppy syndrome, where basically anybody who is, like, championed or where they celebrate someone, the culture is to, like, cut them down because they want to keep them humble, and so, basically, like, they've never been, like, championed or no one's ever really spoken life over them or, like, celebrated them at all in their life. And so I got to, like, really do that and just serve. And I evangelized a bunch, and it was absolutely amazing. And so, like, one of my favorite stories is, and I've shared it already, but I, like, as soon as we get back from we fly into New Zealand from the airport, it's already late at night. We just go and we start evangelizing. And it was like maybe like an hour or two before the mall closes. And like we start praying. And then I'm like, Lord, like let's highlight people. He's like, no, just like walk. And so I'm walking. And immediately like I just start like walking up to people. I'm just like start praying. It's like, hey, like the Lord gave me this word for you. Mind if I share? They're like, yeah. And so like start doing it. And then I see this giant Fijian dude. Like bro is like 6 foot something, he's like 300 pounds, and he's like, you're gonna go talk to that person. I was like, oh no, I'm so scared of that guy. And so I was like, well, Lord, what do you say about him? And he's just like, just walk up to him. He's like, well, I'll give you a word. So I start talking to this dude, and the culture is they want you to be like very direct. And so I was just like, hey dude, like you probably tell him I'm not from here, I'm a missionary. It's like radically, like Lord changed my life, you mind if I like share a word that he gave me for you? And he's just like, sure. And he's just like, okay. And so like I started speaking life over him, like, yo, I feel like the Lord's telling me this, and like you were like this, and just like a bunch of like, yeah, just like Holy Spirit, like I don't even remember what I was saying in that moment. And then I'm like looking at him and he like starts sobbing, and I'm like, whoa. And then it's like crazy to like look at, because all my friends who I was evangelizing with, they were like really confused, because you see this giant like islander and like this little kid like talking this, and he's just bawling his eyes out and crying. And like I got to pray for him, and it was amazing. But yeah, it was absolutely awesome. And so a quick another story before my dad comes up. Okay. So yeah, I was really grateful because I got to speak at a lot of youth events. And so like, again, like my heart's for like the next generation and the youth and how they like really set the culture of like upcoming years. And so it was crazy. I show up to this youth group and there's kids vaping outside, like no lie, just vaping outside. And so then I'm like, I don't think we're in the right place, because it was like a weird building. And I was like, I don't think we're in the right place. And they're like, no, welcome in, this is it. And I'm like, okay. So then one thing that like I really asked my outreach leaders to do was just challenge me. Sorry, voice crack. And so I told them, I was like, if you want me to preach, just tell me like 5 minutes before, or if you want me to like play guitar, come, just like throw me in the fire. And they're like, okay. So basically I show up and they'd even tell me, like this lady goes, all right guys, so basically you guys know the rules that you're only allowed to vape before, and we'll have a vape session after Micah preaches. And I was like, and then she was like, and then after Micah preaches, then you can have your little vape session. And I was like, holy crap, this is crazy. And I was like, okay. And so then, yeah, I just like, okay, I guess I'm preaching. So I like start preaching, and like a lot of them, it was a really rough area. And they're like, a little bit of them were like into it and stuff. And so then, yeah, I just got to like share the gospel with them. And then I did a little altar call, and like Holy Spirit's like, do an altar call. And I was like, okay. So I did one, and no one showed up. Like no one walked up. And I was like, dang, that's really awkward. And so then, yeah. So then like they ended the thing and they allowed games. And then this one kid like comes up to me. He's like, dude, like I was really scared to like walk up to you. He's like, but like, I would love to like respond and give my life to Jesus. So like, could you pray for me? And so then like, I'm like, yeah, dude. And so I start praying for him. And then the Lord like immediately gives me words like about him. And then like, as I'm like, I'm praying for him, all of his friends are like circling around him and they're like making fun of him. They're like, oh, you better receive this prayer or else you're gonna like go to hell. Like just making fun of him and everything. And so like, as I'm speaking life over him, I stop and I'm looking at this kid. I'm like, yo, Lord, I was like, I feel like the Lord's telling me this about you. And I was like, and he just like stops and he's just like this. I was like, and the Lord says that this about you, and the Lord says this, and I just start speaking life all over all of them, and like it's like crazy because they're like all these like big and bad kids, and then like they all just start sobbing. So I like had a group of like 12 kids, just like sobbing, and then yeah, and then I just like share the gospel with them again, and then they like all gave their life to Jesus, and so like yeah, it was just really cool, and so many kids in New Zealand were able to not only hear the gospel, but to act on it. And so it's really cool because I recently found out we have some kids that, or some students that we got to share the gospel with. They're actually going to respond and attempting going to YWAM, which is really cool. And I'm still in contact with a lot of them today. And it's amazing. They're starting up Bible studies. Also, a lot of them are starting up youth gatherings. A lot of them has just been like, hey, like, I just want to like let you know, like ever since that moment, like this is how the Lord just radically changed my life. And so I just want to honor you guys because like your investment in your prayers, like it didn't just like impact me, but it impacted like hundreds of kids. And yeah, it was really cool. And so, yeah, I was really thankful for that. And so I really thank you guys for partnering with me and praying for me. Like it means the world to me. So, but yeah, New Zealand was pretty awesome. And, yeah, so like now I'm back home and just praying that the Lord would just provide clarity of what I'm doing next. YWAM had offered me a 2-year staff commitment where I would be leading teams to other countries and stuff like that. So I'm praying about it. And they have amazing leadership programs where you'd go to like South Africa and like these crazy countries. And they really just disciple you and invest on you and just, yeah, like pour into you. And so I'm praying on it, but as of right now, we've been actively having like worship nights and gatherings. Me and my friend, we started up this youth gathering, and we just spontaneously did it. Like, we just felt like the Lord, like, put it heavy on our heart. And so we ended up having 50, 60-plus kids showing up to the very first night. And then we're having another gathering tonight, and we're expecting at least 80 kids. And so, yeah, it's been really good. And so I really feel like the Lord has really not only prepared me for just what's going on right now, but just ministry ahead and what that means, because I know I want to do that for the rest of my life. And the Lord just completely gripped my heart for missions and just the youth and the unseen, the unheard and the unreached. And so, yeah, I'm just really excited. And so, but it's like crazy, because like I receive like a lot of people who are like, oh, like, why don't you just like go to like college so you can get your job and everything. And so like, it's hard at times because people don't really understand what it means to have like a laid down life for the Lord. But you guys do. And so like, I really honor you guys. And I thank you for, yeah, just your support and your help. So yeah, that's pretty much everything.
Eighteen years ago, I never dreamed that we'd see Micah Manalo on our screen. Are you thinking that, Alan? Yeah. Like when we were like, oh, our miracle baby's born, and Micah, and I have little pictures of him. Never did I think his name would be on the screen. But his name is well known in heaven because of what he's doing for the kingdom. Rodney, your son bumped you. This happens to me all the time. And not just your son, but the whole service. Come up here. Give people just a 2-minute rendition of what you're going to preach on next week. He's going to preach next week. We're going to move him. And just give them whatever you want to say about it and then dismiss us. But I just thank God for the multi-generational blessing in this house. There are many generations. Every generation is important. The young, the old. We have 5 generations in this place with the little ones in here. 5 generations. But we believe that the anointing should get stronger with each successive generation, because the anointing oil is on the garment of the priest, and that's the Old Testament pattern. And so we rejoice when our young ones are doing even more than we did. Easy got a word that your sons will do greater than you, but that is the prayer you have prayed. And so Rodney has a calling in his life, but even before he walks fully into that destiny, he's seeing his son do things. So I just believe that every person in this room will walk in, step in, rejoice in their destiny. And Micah, thank you for giving us a very quick object lesson in just hearing the voice of God and obeying. Hear and obey. Do what he says. Whatever he says, do it.
Thank you. Amen. I'm going to ask Micah to come back. And we're going to feel led just to stretch our arms out, and we'll just pray for him. One thing he didn't also mention, there is another opportunity for him to serve and intern as a student pastor. And so right now we just need clarity, just to kind of to see, you know, what God wants. And again, you know, our surrender is so important. Right. Our obedience goes a long way, but our surrender to him is so important. And we got to realize that. And you know, the struggle was before Micah had committed to YWAM is the Lord had spoke to me first. And I it was clear as day. I was driving down the road, and I just felt in my spirit that Micah doesn't need to go to school. And like he said, we already registered for HCC. I already put a deposit down on school. But then the Lord quickened me and said, he doesn't need to go to school. He needs to go to YWAM. And so immediately, I asked a few people to pray, but I didn't tell them exactly what to pray for. And one of the people that I asked to pray was John, and John said, you know what, the first thing that comes to mind is YWAM. And so immediately, God confirmed the word that was spoken to me, and through that, you know, I shared with Micah, and then as soon as, you know, Micah started praying about it, God brought confirmation through other people about YWAM. And so it's just so neat in how God operates when we're obedient to him, amen. So let's just stretch our hands unto him, and we just say, God, we just thank you for Michael's faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for his obedience and his willingness to put you first and to serve you, God. So we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you've laid before him, God. We just say that you speak to him as clear as day. We thank you for clarity. We come against every spirit of confusion. God, we just thank you for confirmation, Lord, that you have the right situation, you have the right scenario, and you know exactly where he needs to go and step into. So Lord, we just trust you and believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, what was so neat about, you know, kind of this experience about being able to share, and I'll be really, really quick, is being able to share kind of the platform with Micah. It was actually prophesied of a Cammy that, and I don't know if you remember, is you had prophesied, the Lord has spoken to you, and you shared a word that me and Micah would be able to, you saw me and Micah preaching together. And one of those, part of that prophecy, and it always sticks with me, and I shared with Micah, was that we were on the sandy beach, and we were prophesying on the beach to different people, which is interesting because he of course, is in YWAM and in Kona, which is in Hawaii. And, you know, one of the prophetic words I always constantly get is I'll be, you know, a pastor of pastors of the island. So who knows? Who knows what God has? But I just thought that was so neat. But, you know, part of my message that I really want to share, I mean, really honestly, was during worship, we were talking about, I mean, there was healing that was in the room. We were talking more or less about freedom. And so part of my message today was really is, what are we coming in agreement with? The power of agreement. And the reason why a lot of believers haven't been set free or are still struggling with the same thing is because we're not agreeing with God. We're not agreeing with truth. And if you look deeper into the definition of agreement, it talks about partnership. Because when you go into an agreement, you're actually partnering with that thing. So there are people in this room that I felt that were still partnering with the same things, the same struggles. I can't get healed. I can't get set free. I'm broke. I can't get married. And so those are the things that we constantly are always partnering with. So that was just kind of part of that. But I really still believe for those who need to be set free, that God can truly set you free right now. And so I just want to pray. And whether I pray next week, but there's still a God of now, that God is still doing a work right now as I speak. So, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, for every person here that feels they're in bondage, they can't get set free from what they're dealing with, Lord. So I say, Lord, who the Son sets free is free indeed. So I just thank you for the spirit of freedom that's in this place. As Pastor Lena said, that God's called us to walk into freedom. So right now, in Jesus' name, every hold of the enemy, we say we break the lies, we break the chains in Jesus' name. I thank you right now, by the sound of my voice, you are setting the captives free. So we just thank you for the healing that's going forth. Lord, we thank you for the people that are being set free from bondage, from sin, for those that are going through different struggles that need a miracle from you, God. We just thank you that it's taking place right now. In Jesus' name, amen.